opt-out strikes alarming since it's been the theme of many a pilgrim on the road to heresy. And yet it is said by the psalmist, and also by you and me, and by all who believe that Holy Scripture is the Word of God revealing His thoughts toward us. Now, the statement, of course, must be very carefully nuanced. That is, our knowledge of God's thoughts and truths is strictly limited to what He has revealed in His Word. But that much we can know, and we can wholeheartedly agree with it. God's people speak God's Word in His name and can share in His revealed knowledge, in His mind and attitude and love. The other day I was reading W.H.T. Dow's preface to the Concordia revision of Johann Stark's prayer book, and I came across the words, "Stark had a Savior's eye and heart for the lowly and forsaken." What, we may say, does not the Savior have His own eye for His own use? What was Stark doing with it? But we remember the profound truth that in sanctification, the Lord makes us more and more like Himself, in His image. And St. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, it is certainly true, as God has revealed, that His thoughts include thoroughgoing knowledge of all the sins of mankind and His judgments upon sinners. He has searched us and known us and is acquainted with all our ways and words. He knew the evil in the men's hearts before He absolved the man sick of the palsy. But all people who only know or think about God, about these thoughts of God, are pitifully ill-informed about the mind of God and will often be anguished by it, like the blasphemer Voltaire, suffering spiritual torments amid the horrors of the law on his deathbed and crying out, "I die abandoned by God and man." But the psalm writer gives thanks and sings praises when he ponders the deep thoughts of God, because he knows that the deepest thoughts of God are the truths of salvation. Psalm 40 says the same thing. "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts." And then he goes on to speak much of His wondrous and glorious deliverance and says, "I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer." God has promised deliverance and reconciliation with Himself, bringing about atonement for sin. God promises that whoever believes in Christ will be saved. And through faith, the rock of guilt is lifted from the heart, and the child of God is given confidence to sing with the psalmist, "God is my rock." He also says that he has been made glad by God's works, and at the works of God's hands, he sings for joy. And this joy is priceless, as his people know. The heathen Roman writer Varro listed 700 kinds of happiness. But he left out the most important one, the one he himself had never known, the happiness that comes from knowing the Lord's thoughts and trusting in His promise to pardon and to be with us always in good times and in time of need. It is the happiness of the believer Richard Williams, stranded and starving on an island, writing in his diary, "Not a moment sits heavily upon me. Sweet is the presence of Jesus, and oh, I am happy in His love." We are filled with joy over the thought, the divine thought, that Jesus has redeemed us, the thought that He will never leave us or forsake us, the thought that He is going to appear in the clouds and receive us to glory. Psalm 92 says that it is good to continually remind ourselves of these things and to give praise to the Most High, to declare His steadfast love in the morning and his faithfulness every night. The title of this psalm is A Song for the Sabbath Day, and it was appointed to be used at daybreak in the temple at that time. Standing in the temple, the singers could say that they were palm trees planted in the house of the Lord, flourishing and always green. And that is a pleasing thought to encourage and strengthen God's people to continue in His grace. Amen.